everyone. Welcome to the Damage Report on a Friday. I am not John Iadarola. What the hell? Where is he? I'll explain in a second. I don't know if I understand, but I'm Francesca Fiorentini. I am here with you on a Friday with Brett Ehrlich, of course. That remains the same. Brett, welcome.
Yes, and this fulfills my contractual obligation to appear on Fridays to help the Damage Report out. It's not just me desperately needing attention. It is all for the masses. That's why I'm here.
No, they would be screaming if my guests were anyone else. John, by the way, said, and I quote, "I think I have electricity in the back of my throat."
Yeah, he told me that.
So whatever that is, guys. I feel like John has COVID now for like the seventh time. I'm very convinced he's had it many other times. He swears that he hasn't.
I don't believe John is a practice, except when he says he can beat up Elon Musk using Krav Maga. For some reason, I believe that. But yeah, he said to me, and I hate to violate HIPAA, but since he said the same thing to you, he says, "When I breathe in, it feels like I have cold electricity in the back of my lungs."
You're like,
I don't know
yeah.
what that is. I think if anyone has a superhero fantasy where that's how it starts, and at the end he's shooting lightning from his fingers, it's John Iadarola. So get well soon, and B, congratulations, man.
Yeah, I hope you're Iron Man and this is your origin story. I had a tickle. I thought it was COVID. Turns out I'm the next Marvel character. This is totally like John also said it in a way that was like, maybe it's cool. I can turn things into ice.
He's like, I don't know what happened. I went and saw Dial of Destiny in a theater. So maybe I was around people like that. I also got shot with an experimental beam, but those are the only two things that I can really pin it on.
Well, anyway, get well, John. I hope it like this is not gonna age well if something terrible happens. So everybody send all the vibes. Send all the love over to Mr. Iadarola, little Johnny, yada, 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 as we all say. We have so much to get to. It's kind of a First Amendment Friday is what I'm gonna call it. And how that is often applied differently depending on who you are in this country. Another horrible Supreme Court ruling coming down. A January 6er who is free and loose potentially, but we will see. Some Trump legal updates, as well as, of course, the Threads updates. Someone is feeling threatened by Threads, and we will of course get into that. But that being said, everyone, you know what to do. You liking, you clicking the thing, you're sharing the stream right now, you're sending in super chats that we will read in all of our social breaks. And with that, Brett, are you ready to get this Friday started?
Let's do it.
Okay, to the best of my ability, here we go. So a January 6th defendant has been arrested with guns near the Obama home. That's right. And he may actually be released next week if prosecutors do not charge him with something more severe than that or January 6th. We'll get into the details. It seems insane that he would be released. The man's name is Taylor Toronto. Here's a photo of him. He's 37 years old. And he basically, he received the address of Obama's address after Trump posted that online. And Toronto, his choice of social media, of course, is Truth Social. And Toronto retruths that. The January 6th defendant, who had two guns and 400 rounds of ammunition in his van when he was arrested near the former President Barack Obama's home last week, may be released before trial unless prosecutors bring more serious charges against him in the next week. Here is a photo of some of the things that he had in his possession. And again, if you guys missed it, yeah, Trump did truth Obama's, or what are we calling it? Bleeded Obama's address just a few days ago. It is like blurred out there, but in red. And then Toronto retruthed it or rebleeded it and said, "Got them surrounded." That's what he posted. And this is like part of Toronto's history, and we'll talk about that. Actually, this is not the first time he's threatened an official or a former official in Obama's case, of course. He poses a threat to certain current and former government officials, as well as the public at large, because last month Toronto live streamed himself entering an elementary school, near the home of Representative Jamie Raskin. This is graphic 6, where he projected a movie about January 6th on the wall. In the video, cited by prosecutors, Toronto said multiple times that he knew Raskin lived nearby, adding, "I didn't tell anyone where he lives because I want to do it all by myself." So now I want everyone to know that Toronto is also a couple more things to know about him. He has not been held for his role in January 6th yet. He is currently being held now for the threats posed against former President Barack Obama, but he may again be released. He is also being charged in terms of January 6th. He is being sued actually by the wife of one of the Capitol police officers, a man who committed suicide. I believe his name is Jeffrey Smith. He committed suicide, right? And he's being sued over that in terms of his relationship to that Capitol police officer that his wife says his actions on January 6th led to the death of her husband, the suicide death. So that all of these things are happening at the same time, and yet he still may be released if prosecutors can't find a way to hold him. And again, clearly you see the threats there posed to the public at large, but he might actually be released despite all of this. My mind is spinning on this. And the fact that Brett, and I wanted to kick it to you, another piece of this that we know is that he's been waiting to be arrested. He has live streamed himself regularly. This is not just in, you know, Jamie Raskin's kids' elementary school or an elementary school near his house, unconfirmed whether his kids actually attend that school. He's live streaming himself outside the Capitol going, "I'm waiting, I'm here, I'm free." There are straight up photos of this dude on Jan 6 in the Capitol.
It's like, does he know he's radicalized, or is he like feeling like he's doing something righteous that any reasonable person would do? Special shout out for graphic 2, like this weird urinal selfie that like I'm always afraid when I'm looking at my phone while I'm peeing that I'm accidentally taking with my phone as it's just like looking up at him as he's just kind of sitting there like staring down, being like, what have I done with my life? Who knows if he's totally like urinating on the Capitol steps. But just the default setting that we're willing to put up with. I don't know the specifics of like what you're allowed to, what you have to get held over. There's definitely a slippery slope argument to be had with like, you know, holding people when the boundaries of the law are found. That's more for me like a change the law kind of thing. But definitely this doesn't pass the sniff test where the guy is very obviously standing there going like, here is my act, here is my intent, here is how it clashes with the law. And for all the people who say that the law isn't, the you know, that they're the party of law and order, you would assume that if they did this to anyone who wasn't Obama and wasn't Jamie Raskin, well, then obviously they'd want them locked up and you throw away the key. It's just that this guy happened to have like really cool guns in the back of his car that is the issue.
I mean, yeah, and the fact that, and we'll get to it later, stalkers are being given a pass by the Supreme Court. But here we have an issue of a stalker, but yeah, who targeted, look, he targeted Jamie Raskin before. Let's go to graphic 8. So in the days prior to targeting Barack Obama and prior to his arrest, he had broadcast threats to blow up the National Institute of Standards and Technology, warned Speaker Kevin McCarthy that he, quote, can't stop what's coming. And as we mentioned, entered this elementary school near the Maryland home of Representative Jamie Raskin while live streaming apparent threats to that Democratic congressman. But it was only because Obama has a lot of Secret Service, their antennas actually went up in earnest. So on 7, he says, it was only after he entered Obama's Secret Service, this is according to Politico, protected neighborhood, that officials were able to track his movements closely. Toronto was speaking on a live stream, discussed finding an entrance to the Obama's home via the sewers. Down here, everybody floats. That is pretty much the MAGA base at this point. It's just Pennywise. It's just random QAnon people drinking jungle juice under a bridge in Dallas and Pennywise the clown. It is insane to me, Brett, that like, and I think it speaks to two things. We've covered this story, that the Justice Department did not want to go after Jan Sixers initially because they were afraid that it would look politicized. So that's one, that they're slow on actually, you know, holding folks and detaining them, which I agree, people deserve access to a speedy trial, right? But this man is clearly a threat. And the other thing it tells me though is maybe he's not the number one to, like, however many hundreds of Jan Sixers have already been detained. Like, he's not the number one threat. Like, how many dudes just like this guy Taranto are there out there? And how many of them have already been detained? It was just the one that got away, maybe. I don't know. I don't really give a pass to the DOJ here. I don't give a pass. Like, I do think that all of the folks who stormed the Capitol on January 6th are threats. They've proven themselves to be threats to civil society. And the top dog of that, of course, is Donald Trump, who remains free even though he was indicted multiple times.
Well, that's it. And that's what we've been pretty much through, like, implicit pressure and consequences for people who've done much less have been disincentivizing, right? So what I mean by that is that, like, what people like Donald Trump rely on is their high status, where they're at that point where he's, as he says, I can shoot someone in the center, in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get away with it. The reason he was able to do that is he was famous for other stuff. He has name recognition. If you had, like, Paul Ryan the same year say, I can shoot someone in Fifth Avenue, they'd be like, no, buddy, we know you're a tryhard trying to get clout. And that would sink you. That would sink so many people. People who, like, had affairs lost their career, much less threaten murder in public places. Mm-hmm. And so that's the tough calculus that you, as the opposition to that, are in, where you're like, you know, there's a lot of trappings of what a tyrannical government does. And one of those trappings is lock up the opposition. Now, what the opposition takes advantage of is you knowing that, and you knowing that you're basically opening yourself up for basically becoming the tyrants they're calling you while they're doing the tyrannical things.
Yes.
And so that's why you see the Department of Justice say, well, Donald Trump, we gave him 4 million chances, and the various departments of justice in states and different jurisdictions say, we gave you millions of chances to not break the law, to not get arrested for this. But we do seem weak at this point if we don't do something. So they're willing to incur the risk of seeming like they're doing the thing tyrannical governments do. And the cost of that is they have to release the guy as soon as it gets close to the letter of the law implying they have to release the guy.
Right.
That's the calculus that they're doing. And, you know, unfortunately, that does to the average observer who's like, this guy has a bunch of guns outside Obama's house. He's menacing the children of Jamie Raskin. If you don't do something, you're weak. So now everybody is calling essentially the good guys in this story weak bad guys. And it's a tough spot to be in, but this is kind of like what the mature, responsible people have to do, I think. I just don't know how else to do it.
Yeah, it's just still wild to me how unequal justice is applied in this country. And Jan Sixers have revealed all of that just in one day, in the 4 hours they turned the Capitol into their little playground, and a lot of them are still free. Taranto is currently not free. We will see. I think, as Brett alluded to, they're probably gonna keep holding him. That'd be my guess. Let's move on though to that top dog and some of those legal updates for Donald Trump. There are some really important legal updates in many cases coming at Donald Trump. One involving kind of a throwback to 2016, the former FBI head Peter Strzok, but we'll get to that. First, let's talk about Donald Trump's partner in crime when it comes to the classified documents scandal. This was, I guess, the last aide who was still talking to him without needing a lawyer present, and his last lawyer who he cajoled into keeping documents that were requested by the National Archives and just moving them around from the bathroom to the ballroom, from the ballroom to the lawn, and so on and so forth. And that guy's name is Walt Nauta. Walt, short for Waltine. And I want everyone, when this weekend, to just marinate on that name. When you name a baby Waltine, I feel like they're gonna end up into some legal trouble with Donald Trump. But anyway, his personal aide, Walteen Waltnada, pleaded not guilty on Thursday to charges that he schemed with his boss to hide classified documents from authorities at Mar-a-Lago. The government has accused Nada, 40, of moving boxes containing top secret government materials for the former president and then helping him hide the documents from federal officials who demanded them back. He's a loyal body man to Trump in the White House who continued to work for the former president in Florida. Nada was indicted along with Trump on 5 criminal charges, a lot less, including conspiracy to obstruct, concealing a document, and scheming to conceal a material fact in a federal investigation. Nada was also charged with lying to the FBI, and Trump was charged with 31 counts of mishandling national defense information and 1 count of causing false statements to be made. Nada faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted of the most serious charge made against him, of course. Now, without really naming him by name, Donald Trump bleated on Truth Social a very rambling statement about this. I don't even want to, where do I even begin? Vital case law, here we go, of which there is much. What does that even mean? Okay, further confirms the Presidential Records Act is the only statute which applies to the presidents and their records. These cases build on the Clinton Sox case in making it clear that presidents have complete latitude and authority when it comes to documents. So you like the Clintons now? As well as that the PRA has no criminal enforcement mechanism. Deranged Jack Smith knows this, but refuses to even mention the words Presidential Records Act in his scam indictment of Biden's political opponent, who is leading by a lot, that means him, in the middle of a campaign, a no-no, blah, 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 he goes on. But he doesn't mention his homie, his aide, his main man, Brett. He doesn't mention Nada, Walteen. What are the chances? Just hear me out. Walteen's gonna take the entire Faultine for all this.
Listen, he's endured so much in his life. What's one more thing? I think the the bigger burden is the name Walteen. On the upside with the name Walteen, which according to the one website on the internet which says where the name comes from, it means walled in city. And it says that no more than 5 children are given that name every year.
Well, that's
and that's a success.
That's special.
I'll just say before we move on to actual serious matters,
please.
He could have had a more common name. And like what you want in your nefarious people who are mired in controversy is a rare name. So it doesn't ruin that name for everyone else who has it.
Right.
I'm referring to Adolf.
The other four every year.
Which is a disservice to them, but like, you know, I don't think it's the straw that broke the camel's back. I love that it's at least close to Walt.
We're looking at you, Brett Kavanaugh, right? I'm sure every time you're like, ugh.
Exactly. All the B-roll like ruins it. It's like, Brett, you suck. I'm like, oh, I get it for different reasons than this guy does. I don't know. According to this whole like Clinton Sox case, when I think of Clinton and Sox, I think about their cat, I believe, that was named Sox.
Me too.
So ridiculous. What? But apparently Clinton kept socks in his tapes in his sock drawer. And a judge was like, it's fine, or something like that. According to PolitiFact, it's a different case and it does not, believe it or not, have the same implications that Trump is bleeding on the regular. I do think that Walteen will have to take the Faultine, as you said, and it sucks, but at least he's gonna have his name in a footnote somewhere in the history books in something that was, you know, I don't know. Just so stupid to begin with.
I don't know, man. I mean, people who've done time, let me know how you survive in prison with the name Walteen. He's like, no, it's Walt, like Walter White. Like, nah, we know it's Walteen. On this documents case, it is important to know that these prosecutors who are actually, you know, doing their work are being threatened. Because hey, the likes of, you know, Taranto, who we talked about earlier, are still out there, and folks who are following and retruthing Donald Trump, rebleeding him. But the individual prosecutors involved in this documents case are against the former president are facing substantial harassment and threats online and elsewhere, according to extremism experts and a government official familiar with the matter. Experts say they frequently observe violent rhetoric targeting people who are blamed for undermining the former president, not just prosecutors involved in the criminal investigations surrounding Trump, but also swing state election workers refuting false claims of voter fraud. Indeed, far right Trump supporters are posting the names of prosecutors and government workers online, yelling them at demonstrations, threatening them, and sometimes revealing details about their personal lives. But at least they know more about government and how it works. Right, Brett? You gotta find, you know, your niche somewhere. Like, you know, some of us learn it in like civics class, others get radicalized and then get excited about different DOJ officials because we wanna harm them. What? Like, it's just, this is the thing though. These are the low level folks who don't have, you know, Secret Service like Barack Obama does, that you know, were the reasons that this guy Toronto even got arrested in the first place in terms of, you know, the Jan Sixer. These are people, they don't have private security. I mean, you saw like Representative AOC already say, you know, we would need more security. And that doesn't seem like it's changed in the wake now 2.5 years since January 6th, since Trump supporters actually acted on their violence. So in this time of extreme like political violence, I don't know how to like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when the right consistently says this is the same thing. BLM is the same thing as Jan 6. In fact, Antifa did Jan 6 and they were all actors. And it just like goes on and on and on. And then we have centrist bureaucrats who are afraid to look partisan to actually take these threats to their own people, afraid to take them seriously. We have online, like, you know, looking at disinformation campaigns. The Biden administration creates an entire, like, you know, bureau to study disinformation that gets dismantled immediately because Fox News and Newsmax and all the other psychos, like, were mad that Taylor Lorenz was on it. You know what I mean? Like, they just backtrack and backtrack and back themselves into their own corner here.
This is where I just have to, like, have faith in humanity at large. And that's cute. Faith, I know, I'm not saying I have it. I'm saying I have to have it.
Right.
Like, I have to have faith. And I, something that helps with that is definitely like Biden beat Trump before this happened. And after this happened, people don't like Trump. Now, Biden's trying really hard to lose that advantage in the wake of it.
And isn't he though?
In the thing that kind of like hurts your liver, and it gets punches to your liver, and then you have to drink, which ruins your liver even more. All these body shots are like Trump is still leading among Republicans. Then you just have to have faith. I have to have faith in the system that it's set up so that if a psychopath wins the party nomination, then they won't win the general election.
Right.
And the sad thing about that is if the other side's party apparatus, you know, each side has their own apparatuses and they yield a candidate, you just wanna make sure that the party apparatus of the opposition to that is actually doing good work and getting the right electable person there. What's so sad to me is when you look at like the main, like, you know, foundations, the main elements of our government, it's just like they are putting Donald Trump up there and Joe Biden up there.
Yep.
Like, there's so many more talented people, and this should be merit-based, right? Right now it is not merit-based. Right now it is absolutely like pecking order, hierarchy-based within the Democratic Party. The fact is, and this is not an endorsement of anyone's policies, but you have a much more talented, charismatic candidate in Gavin Newsom than you have in anyone else in the party right now, within that category of like generic American looks at him and goes, I'd vote for that guy.
Yeah.
And they won't, and that's not happening.
I know. I agree. I have so many problems with Newsom, but I totally 100% agree. Like, he will become a, anyway, we'll talk about Newsom. Yeah. When Brett comes on the Habituation Room, we do a whole thing on Newsom, you know, and that photo of him and guilfoyle on the carpet, rare. Quickly, before we break though, there's one more piece of this. So Peter Strzok, former head of the FBI, who was fired in 2016, because, not necessarily because, but the lawsuit alleges that he's bringing against the Department of Justice, that he was fired because he was looking into Donald Trump's ties to Russia. If you guys remember that. And he's suing, he's been suing the Department of Justice. And in that lawsuit, his lawyers are asking for Donald Trump to be deposed in all that. turns out the DOJ, even under Biden, is like, no, don't depose Trump, don't depose him. But Judge Amy Berman Jackson has said, nah, he's gotta be deposed. So a judge rejected the DOJ's effort to block the Trump deposition in a lawsuit over ex-FBI agent Peter Strzok's firing. The ruling from Judge Amy Berman Jackson came late Thursday, one day after the Justice Department asked her once and for all to block Trump from being deposed in the suit. The DOJ argued that deposing Trump is, quote, not appropriate, especially since there's no evidence that the case indicating that the FBI fired Strzok at Trump's direction, even if that's what Trump wanted to happen, which is, I swear to God. Okay, this was, in case we forgot, Trump really wanted Peter Strzok gone. In 2018, he said, I'm amazed that Peter Strzok is still the FBI and so is everybody else. Peter Strzok should have been fired a long time ago. And that was 2 months before Strzok was fired. So quick correction on my part. He was fired in 2018, not 2016. Again, he felt that he was wrongfully dismissed and that his First Amendment rights, that's this, again, what he's bringing in this lawsuit, they were violated when he was wrongfully terminated the year before over private texts with then FBI attorney Lisa Page reflecting anti-Trump sentiments. So you guys remember that. So he was not only looking into the ties between the Trump campaign and Russia, but he like you do when a neo-fascist comes into power, texted some stuff to Lisa Page about being concerned. Now, here's the problem I have with this entire story. The DOJ, and everyone needs to understand this, everyone who put any faith in the Mueller report to save us, all the libs who were like, Mueller, help me, Mueller, you're my only hope. No. These are career diplomats, not diplomat, they're career centrists. Former head of the FBI is gonna be your savior? I think not, all right? They might do the investigation, but they will not hand down any kind of actual criminal charge or recommend that Trump not be allowed to be president currently or in the future. And the same here, the DOJ is like, no, don't depose Trump, that's bad for us. Like, no, you should have Trump deposed. The guy will relish in the fact that Peter Strzok was fired. So, Brett.
Yeah, my only thing about this is in what you're saying, everything's a version of like, do I go to Twitter, which is owned by billionaire Elon Musk, or do I go to Threads, which is owned by billionaire Mark Zuckerberg? We just always seem to, quote, get ourselves in this position where like we have to rely on people that we're just like, I know what drives you. I know what kind of a person you are. I know that you're not like necessarily my friend, but in this situation, I have to rely on you to kind of be my ally here. And you're the lesser of two evils. That doesn't make you good.
Yeah, deep state versus deep state.
Hello.
When's the last time Facebook opened up their books and told us what they were up to in 2020?
Right.
They haven't. When's the last time they told us what they were up to in 2016? They haven't. When's the last time we found out about the Zuckerbucks and where they poured in to key Democratic districts in key Democratic states in order to help Joe Biden win? So what did Elon Musk do, who's not a conservative? He opened up and said, hey, I want to tell you what's been going on. And the one thing I will let you know is if I suppress you, you'll know about it. And I'm not looking to suppress any free speech within reason. So why did Zuckerberg all of a sudden feel an absolute need to go and do this? Because once again, if you give Mark Zuckerberg and all the others a social media platform, we will never find out what they're up to, despite what any judge rules.
Wow, someone's getting Twitter blue for free. That is Brian Kilmeade, very upset, like the entire right is upset, but Elon Musk is not a conservative, just being defended by every conservative out there, very mad at Mark Zuckerberg, head of Meta. I can't believe I have to say that. It's Facebook to me. After, of course, the company launched their version of Twitter, Threads. So we'll get into some of the reactions from the right, but for now you need to know that Musk is not going quietly, all right? He in fact has sent a cease and desist letter over to Threads or Meta or whatnot. His legal team, which is like a 14-year-old kid at this point, who has watched a lot of Law and Order, but doesn't actually have a law degree. But anyway, doesn't matter. Sent that cease and desist letter to Meta. accusing them of misappropriating Twitter's trade secrets after Meta, and this is true, hired some Twitter employees. So this is according to that cease and desist letter saying over the past year, Meta has hired dozens of former Twitter employees. Twitter knows that these employees previously worked at Twitter, that these employees had and continue to have access to Twitter's trade secrets and other highly confidential information, that these employees owe ongoing obligations to Twitter, and that many of these employees have improperly retained Twitter documents and electronic devices. With that knowledge, Meta deliberately assigned these employees to develop in a matter of months Meta's copycat Threads app with the specific intent that they use Twitter's trade secrets and other intellectual property in order to accelerate the development of Meta's competing app in violation of both state and federal law. However, the spokesperson for Meta said no. No one on Threads engineering team is a former Twitter employee. That's just not a thing. I think he might have threaded that out. So that's fun. Elon Musk is mad. He tweeted, competition is fine, cheating is not. But Brett, what did you think was gonna happen when you fired a bunch of workers from Twitter?
Here's the weak point of the argument, is like this company is run, it's not that a bunch of Twitter employees left and started something new. It's that Facebook, a longstanding, or the Meta, a longstanding accomplished social media company, spun up the most basic social media app functionality very quickly. Because of course they would. It's like Naomi and like Adam, like all the people who run that Facebook/Instagram, that whole group is very capable of doing. Go follow Dustin Moskowitz on Threads. He outlined basically what's happening and what he thinks of it. He's at this point really got no skin in the game, so he criticizes it as well as celebrates the certain benefits that he has, and shares little tips. Like if you hit return 3 times, it'll automatically start the next, you know, bit of your thread, and you don't have to like send the first one before starting the next, like all this stuff. But outlining the fact that like you're mad, buddy, that all these pros you're basically mad that the pros are pros at the thing they're pros at.
Right.
And you are not a pro at this. And you're mad because you face planted from the jump, and the people that you're trying to appeal to are really like, are just like wanting to watch the world burn. And that's fine. That's a lot of what social media was based on in quote, the good old days, go for it. But just know that the reason that you're triggered is because of your own failures. The fact that you paid a gajillion dollars for something that they were able to snap their fingers and make happen. And what are you mad about? Like the fact that you can tell people what you're up to and what your thoughts are very quickly on the internet. Every single platform does that.
Yep. And what a week to roll out Threads too, just on the back of the Twitter limits, only being able to see 600 tweets at a time, now 800, I guess. Only being able to see people's tweets if you are have a blue check and subscribe to Twitter Blue, just on and on and on. Even the people who were hanging on and like, okay, I'll deal with everything about Twitter now, even though I've got like anti-Semites and racists like coming after me nonstop, I'll deal with it. Even they are like, nah, I'm done. So again, every wrong move from the, again, incredible innovator who's really good at business. But let's remember, Zuckerberg is no hero, and he, again, he's just the parent for this weekend, and we will see. He's still an abusive parent, as I've said. Alex Velatis on Twitter, but then Elon responds, we'll watch, take a look at this. Says the dangers of a world where Zuck controls all media, like many other people, I've been having fun playing with a new app, but it's important to remember what's at stake here. Zuck already controls the largest, and I'm sure there's a show more, but you know, who watches, who sees more now on Twitter? I hate that function. So he explains, obviously, the incredible monopoly that Meta has in terms of messaging apps, in terms of WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, of course, and now Threads. And then there's a screenshot here of a very, very old chat, I believe, referencing how he even started Facebook, which was a bunch of people gave him a bunch of images. People submitted, I don't know why they trust me, dumb Fs is what he says. And Elon Musk replies, any social media monopoly is despair. It's despair. And yet, funny, Brett, because it seems like whether it's Substack, whether it's now Threads, whether it's any outside link to anything else, Elon Musk feels really, really fragile about maintaining his, I don't know, I would call it a monopoly on the sort of written word social media space.
Right. He's mad because he bought an idea. And listen, you can be mad at Facebook for, you know, copying Foursquare, copying Twitter when Jack made it with the status update. They just do that because they can. And then they sit there and both of these, no one's got any sympathy for Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg in this. That's why on Happy Half Hour we have this segment, everyone in this story sucks farts, because they just do. They just do, and it's fine. But like the hypocrisy specifically in Elon Musk, who as recently as like a week ago was like, now if you swipe up on videos, it'll give you the next video, which is just totally taken from the TikToks and the shorts and the reels of the world. Like you're doing the exact same thing. And that one of the reasons we have no or we should have no sympathy for it is that like, this is also part of the game, is these, oh my God, you go back to the cage match talk. It made you seem like more of a baller than the cease and desist letter ticky tack lawyer speak.
Just solve it in the arena, man. Yeah. But back to the right and all their freak out. It is interesting. So this is legit actually something that happened on Threads, but of course tweeted by a right winger who pointed out that when you try to follow Donald Trump Jr., there is a little pop up on Threads that says, are you sure you want to follow Donald Trump Jr.? This account has repeatedly posted false information and really cringe jokes that was reviewed by independent fact checkers or went against our community guidelines. I added the cringe jokes part. Donald Trump Jr. of course tweeted, which is weird because I feel like wouldn't he bleed it? Aren't we on Truth Social? I don't know. He says, Threads not exactly off to a great start. Hey, Instagram, Threads is verbal. So the whole skimpy bikini thing's not gonna work out so well if your influencers can't formulate a sentence. In my honest opinion, you may wanna rethink cutting off those who can. So he's saying he can form a sentence as he has a fake green screen of a library behind him in his podcast. So part of me was like, hell yeah, that's cool. I'm glad that they at least offer that warning. You can still follow Donald Trump Jr. on Threads. It's not a big deal. But then a spokesperson for Meta tweeted back at Donald Trump Jr. saying, this was an error and shouldn't have happened. It's been fixed. And Donald Trump Jr. says, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. Hell yeah, I'll see you at Squash tomorrow. Because of course, well, I mean, like, all of it's trash. Everyone in, again, everyone sucks farts, as Brett and Happy Half Hour state very proudly and importantly. It's just a new toy that we're playing with that has maybe a fraction less harassment. So you can find me there. But Marjorie Greene, of course, freaked out at this and tweeted, now I'm definitely sure Threads will be in the same Marxist style social media experiment that Zuckerberg usually offers. All social experimentation serving big pharma, the intelligence community, the DEI initiatives to strengthen corporate stocks, supporting garbage DEI issues and stealing elections. No thank you. Oh God, just, we got the anti-vax, we got the anti-woke in DEI, we got the intelligence community. Brett, you work at TYT and have for many, many years. Don't you know, I'm sorry, what are the top performing videos on Facebook?
Right, what, that's the thing. They all say that they're censored. The top performing videos historically are right wingers. The Dan Bonginos of the world, the Ben Shapiros of the world. And they do so all the time. And as a top Facebook executive said to me one time, all you need to do to get Zuckerberg to change is shame him publicly. They do it, he changes, that's that.
Yep. And they did it in the 2016 election too, when they, you know, right wingers were glomming onto him. Oh my God, you're biased against us. And he completely dissolved basically a body made up of former journalists and former copy editors and editors, excuse me, who were effectively making sure that fake news wasn't spread in advent of the election. And when he got, you know, harassed by right wingers, he was like, okay, you know what? We're not gonna do it. We're just no journalistic ethics. We're gonna post videos and photos of our babies here. That's it. And he just, you know, he slunk away from it. And then, of course, we led to the massive amount of disinformation on Facebook specifically and radicalization that we see today. So anyway, yay Zuckerberg.
It'd be amazing if he is.
If John is working on his costume, does he mess with Comic-Con?
He likes board game conventions.
Right, I didn't know if it was like full cosplay, you know, but that would be really, I think I would need like 15 minutes of my life to just laugh, and then I'd be like, you look cool, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. We love you.
I can imagine him.
It's weird that at the board game convention, you dressed as Monopoly and had Go at your crotch and were like, you want to pass Go? It'll cost $200.
No.
Take a chance. Chance, his community chests are just like.
Community chess is his chess. I love it.
Reparking in rear.
No, see, this is a Brett Ehrlich costume, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, apologies.
Let's move on to this. So there's been a lot of fallout, obviously, from that incredibly homophobic DeSantis ad, but he is doubling down, so. Let's start with this.
You know, identifying Donald Trump as really being a pioneer in injecting gender ideology into the mainstream, where he was having men compete against women in his beauty pageants. I think that's totally fair game, because he's now campaigning saying the opposite, that he doesn't think that you should have men competing in women's things like athletics. And so we've been very clear on it, that we believe in protecting the rights of our girls and the rights of women athletes to be able to participate with fairness.
Yeah, so are you advocating for the Women's World Cup being paid equally, the players in that? Yeah, and that they don't have to play on AstroTurf? Were you at the front of that fight, Mr. Ron DeSantis? No, you weren't, and you don't care. You don't watch women's sports. You make fun of it behind everybody's backs. We know, but that's fine. So that's Ron DeSantis, and he is basically doubling down on that ad that he ran that was featuring Donald Trump in the year 2015 when he was running for president, saying that, yeah, that he supports the LGBTQ plus community. Again, so long as they're with him, so long as they support him, very Trumpian of him. And then juxtaposing that with Ron DeSantis stops people from saying gay in the state of Florida, featuring a lot of greased up muscly dudes, which makes him very, very straight. Let's remember that. But I guess, Brett, maybe your reaction to that, the doubling down, because a lot of folks were upset, and we'll get to who was upset by the ad. To me, it just seemed like a natural progression of everything else he's been doing legislatively in his state.
Yeah, this is my in engaging on this. I will just say it's a trap. It's a trap. Do not engage. It's a trap.
That's Colonel Calamari, according to Francesca Fiorentini, circa 2018 or 19.
I believe it's Admiral Allahu Akbar. I think it's Admiral Akbar. Is that his name?
It is Admiral. I like Allahu Akbar, though.
Yeah, but it is Ron calculating, horrible, trap queen, Ron DeSantis. I don't even know what that term means, but like Ron.
I'll throw it in there.
DeSantis, it is a trap, and all he's trying to do is to get people to talk about this. And I will say this, most people aren't in agreement with Ron DeSantis. Most people in America like that when they go to a sporting, they like to go watch sports. They're not worried about checking the genitalia of the person who's participating in it. And I think most people think that if you're hyper focusing on this issue as part of your campaign slash personal identity, you're a weirdo. They want to call us weirdos because we're like, let's treat people with a base level of dignity. But and they want to be the normal people. They want you to call them normal when they're like, listen, line all your kids up so I can look up their skirts before they go swimming.
Yeah, and it's interesting to parse these reactionaries, but I guess when it comes to DeSantis versus Trump, and when it comes to running that ad again featuring Trump supporting the gay community versus DeSantis legislating against it, yeah, the right is being parsed now, and the right is sort of drawing their lines in the sand as if DeSantis had any chance against Trump. We've been over the numbers multiple times, and so has DeSantis's staff. But that being said, there is a group called Gays Against Groomers, and the one of the officials in that group is now stepping down and saying that because the founder of the group actually has ties to DeSantis, and now and he's learning about them, he's out. So this is David Leatherwood is his name. He said, today I would like to announce I'm formally resigning from my board position with Gays Against Groomers and withdrawing my involvement from the organization. I will always support the mission of GAG, which is truly the most unfortunate name if you run a Gays Against, don't call you, okay. He says, it's a great organization. My decision was professional on good terms, blah, da, dee, blah, blah, blah. Caitlyn Jenner, again, prominent trans woman who somehow is still a Republican. She actually called, was the reason that this all started, because she called out Jamie Mitchell, who's the founder of GAG, saying, I cannot be affiliated with Gays Against Groomers because Jamie essentially begging my organization to co-brand, amplifying, paying for 50% of the Pride Month ad. The leader being on payroll for DeSantis is so vitriolic and anti-Trump. She should step down from one immediately. I'm sorry, I butchered that tweet. But it is interesting, Brett, that there is a line even for these conservatives. I mean, Gays Against Groomers, you'd imagine them sort of to be the unrequited fans of, you know, Ron DeSantis. Like, we support you being against groomers, but we're also gay, you know. But no, they have a line. Caitlyn Jenner has a line, finally. And they're saying, yeah, your anti-gay agenda is one step too far. Yeah, we believe that Democrats are like, you know, pedophiles and, you know, probably like, you know, drinking the adrenochrome of children and whatnot. But all this like anti-gay hatred and anti-trans hatred, you know, we're out. I'm fascinated by that.
So in politics, there's kind of two operators you kind of identify. One is the DeSantis type and one is the Trump type. One is DeSantis is going to do testing, polling, studying to make sure that he absolutely is taking the right position and leaning into it, coming up with that pregame plan to play the game, and he plays it. And then there's Donald Trump, who's like just kind of working on his material on the road. He's just like he's out there retail politicking with a lot of folks and just going with his gut. And his gut is telling him like DeSantis is going too far. And that gives Trump a lot of power because he can change his positions whenever he wants. But if DeSantis does, he is over because it's all people met him that way.
Yeah.
People met Trump in Home Alone 2, you know, and The Apprentice, and they just are there for general energy. And that energy that's attracted to Trump is the energy that likes how like rawly awful he is in a way that's like ends with an elbow, like, am I right, buddy?
Yeah.
And Donald, and then Ron DeSantis absolutely is just gonna keep, he's just gonna be this person until, you know, it either works or doesn't for him, as he hopes that Trump goes to jail.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not gonna happen for you, buddy. But again, I think it is really important. And again, for, I don't wanna like hashtag no Nancy Pelosi here, but I think it is important for the right to realize that there cannot be a group called Gays Against Groomers, because the whole anti-groomer agenda is founded upon being homophobic. That's it. That it is a not a slippery slope. It is the same soup of, you know, conflating, oh, you're worried about the kids with, no, we actually just don't want gay people around. We don't want to talk about it. We don't talk about same-sex marriage. In fact, we're going after same-sex marriage next. And drag queen shows are just sort of our on-road into that. It's the same thing. Just like MAGA and that hatred, again, while once invited and welcomed gay folks into its fold, is ultimately a fascist agenda. And that is a white supremacist, like cis hetero agenda. Oh, I'm sorry, I said a slur according to Elon Musk. Brett Ehrlich, that is the time we have for just this moment for the linear folks, but everybody else, we're still on YouTube. There's still more stories in the aftermath. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.